A few weeks ago, President Trump and Republicans in Congress released a plan to change the tax code. It is now Congress's top priority. They say they'll have a bill on the president's desk by Christmas. And some of the biggest changes in this plan are to the corporate income tax.
And this is a big deal. The federal government raises more than $300 billion a year from the corporate income tax. That's enough to cover all the federal spending on education, public housing, building roads, bridges, NASA, funding scientific research. It's a lot of money.
Also, pretty much everyone agrees the corporate tax is outdated, is inefficient, is ridiculously complex.
We talked with Leslie Robinson, a professor at Dartmouth, and she made this whole thing very clear. Even the simplest things about the corporate income tax, not that simple.
And what do you study?
I study corporate tax.
What is corporate tax?
Oof. It's a tax on corporate income.
not a trick question. So, just to be clear, what is corporate income?
So that's one of the reasons I said oof at the beginning.
In basic terms, you know, corporate income is just corporate profit. A company's profit, its income, is what is subject to the corporate income tax.
If only it were that simple.
What is the rate for the corporate income tax?
The rate for the corporate income tax, 35%.
Is that really what they pay?
No.
Not an oof, but an ah.
Right.
Leslie says the effective rate that companies actually pay is much lower. There are different estimates of that, but it's probably a little over 20%. This gap between the 35% and the 20%, this is the key to the corporate income tax story. Because, you know, on the one hand, you hear people say the United States has the highest corporate tax rate in the developed world. And strictly speaking, this is true.
But at the same time, the U.S. tax code has these deductions and exemptions and credits.
The things that if you don't like them, you call them loopholes.
Sure. And once you factor those in, the rate companies actually pay is not the highest in the developed world. It's like a normal average rate.
This is not a great way to run a tax. For one thing, you end up with companies spending billions and billions of dollars on tax lawyers and accounting schemes rather than spending that money on, you know, making better stuff. Also, Leslie says there's this other problem. Some companies get the deductions way more than others, so it winds up feeling really unfair.
Yeah, and every few years, politicians say, oh, we have to fix this. Let's lower the rate. Let's get rid of some of these loopholes. President Obama tried to do it a few years ago.
And President Trump and the Republicans in Congress are trying to do it right now. Trillions of dollars. Thousands of billions of dollars.
That's the math.
Are at stake. Hello and welcome to Planet Money. I'm Jacob Goldstein.
And I'm Robert Smith. Today on the show, our three favorite words all
same.
In a nice little row.
Same right now.
Corporate.
Corporate.
Income.
Income. Tax.
Tax.
Corporate income tax.
You took a deduction for the whole seat, but you're only going to need the edge.
Support for Planet Money and the following message come from Wonder Capital, an online investment platform investing in U.S. solar energy projects. Earn up to 7.5% annually while diversifying your portfolio and helping combat global climate change. Individual investors financed more than 50 large-scale solar projects in 2017, offsetting the CO2 emissions from 1.5 million gallons of gasoline consumed. Create an account for free at wondercapital.com/planetmoney.
When President Trump and the congressional Republicans released this tax plan a few weeks ago, they published a document. It's 9 pages long. They called it a framework.
Not a plan.
It's the frame in which they're going to do their work.
We have the framework, and we are going to walk through it today. We're going to tell you how it all adds up, and we're going to find some...
A little surprise, a little narrative, some big piles of money. Let's do it.
Let's start with the headline, the thing everyone is going to be talking about, which is the Republican framework lowers the corporate tax rate. And this is the easy part. This is the thing that corporations will love. It's not like they're going to call up their congressperson and say, like, wait a minute, why are you lowering my taxes? I just wanted to pay more money.
So the rate right now is 35%. And the new rate is here in the framework on page 7, tax rate structure for corporations. Here it is. The framework reduces the corporate tax rate to 20%.
Done.
20%. Now, there is this issue, right? You lower the tax rate from 35 to 20%. There is this obvious consequence, the government is going to collect a lot less tax revenue, right? According to the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, a nonprofit, over the next 10 years, the government would collect $1.9 trillion fewer dollars.
$1.9 trillion. That's $1,900 billion.
What else is it? More math.
It is $1.9 million dollars.
Is that right?
It is $1.9 million dollars.
So it's a huge hole in the budget. But to be clear, the rest of the framework, the rest of our show is filling that hole back in, right? Not only are they lowering the rate, they're getting rid of those deductions and exemptions.
Or as they will probably say, loopholes, because if you're getting rid of them, you call it a loophole.
So there are, of course, hundreds of these in the tax code. Each one has some reason for being, some particular compelling story.
Let's just take one of them, one of the few that is actually mentioned by name in the Republican tax framework. It is called Section 199.
Yeah, and it has its own little story, like all of these do. This one starts in 2004. Congress created Section 199 of the tax code as a tax break for domestic manufacturing, because everybody loves manufacturing, right?
Sure, building stuff, guys with mustaches, with forklifts, moving things back and forth.
Big old pieces of metal.
John Cougar Mellencamp singing in the corner, yeah.
So this becomes law in 2004. And a few years later, a tax lawyer named Ken Silverberg, he gets a call from a company that wanted to claim a deduction under Section 199.
They would buy crackers, cookies, candies, and arrange them in an artistic and beautiful way and wrap them with attractive bows, perhaps put some decorative items inside the basket.
The company made gift baskets.
The CFO went to a tax conference, and he heard some speaker talking about this Section 199 deduction that was available for companies that did manufacturing. And he says, why can't we use that?
And Ken, the corporate tax lawyer, says, you can.
And this is your classic tax break story, right? Congress opens a little door in the tax code for a specific industry, and then everybody calls their tax lawyer and says, hey, get me in that door.
So the gift basket company claims the deduction, and eventually the government's like, wait. No, you can't do that. You are literally just putting cookies and crackers and wine into a basket.
And the case winds up in court. The government is saying, this is not manufacturing. And Ken and his colleagues are arguing, yes, it is. This company is making a new thing, a gift basket. They are manufacturing.
It looks just like the assembly line in any factory. There's forklift trucks driving across the floor, bringing stuff to the beginning of the assembly line. And you have lines of workers sitting there putting things together and many conveyor belts.
So many conveyor belts. So many conveyor belts. The judge agrees with Ken and the gift basket company. They can get a manufacturing deduction.
This ruling came down in 2013, and it's part of this push that has been going on, frankly, since Section 199 has been in place, where more and more companies want to qualify. There was something called the Starbucks footnote way back at the beginning that basically meant that Starbucks coffee roasting could count under Section 199.
Sure.
Dentists started claiming this for making crowns.
Are we manufacturing a podcast?
I don't know. Film companies can do it because they are producing a movie. They get it.
So this proliferation has not escaped Congress's notice. The framework that Republicans released recently, it is thin on details, but it does call out this section, Section 199
by name. Wait, let me find it. It's page 8
of the framework.
Because of the framework's substantial rate reduction for all businesses, the current law domestic production, Section 199 deduction, will no longer be necessary.
Such a nice way to put it. We're getting rid of it. It's no longer necessary.
And getting rid of this Section 199 deduction, it will bring in an extra $160 billion for the government over the next 10 years.
Okay. So lowering the corporate tax rate puts the government in a $1.9 trillion hole. But eliminating this one deduction brings in an extra $160 billion.
It's not nothing, but a long way to go.
Yeah.
But this is just one deduction.
There are more. Another big one that the Republicans are proposing is going after the gigantic pile of money that corporations are holding outside the United States. It is just sitting there for the taking, and Congress wants to drag it back here.
Lots of companies are holding cash outside the U.S. One you hear a lot about is Apple. because they have more than $200 billion sitting outside the U.S. Apple, of course, is an American company. They just built their big spaceship headquarters out in Cupertino, out in California. But when Apple sells an iPhone in, say, Hamburg, Germany, the profit does not go to Apple in California.
No. The money goes to a foreign subsidiary that is owned by Apple, some company that Apple created and controls outside of the United States.
And the way the U.S. tax system works now, Apple does not have to pay U.S. corporate tax on that money from the iPhone they sold in Germany until the subsidiary sends the money back to Apple in California.
So, not surprisingly, Apple's subsidiary does not send the money back to Cupertino, California. They hold on to it, so they don't have to pay the tax.
And year after year, Apple and all these other companies are doing this, and this pile of money is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
And oh, how politicians love to talk about this pile of money.
$2.5 trillion. I happen to think it's double that. It's probably $5 trillion that we can't bring into our country, Lester. And with a little leadership, you'd get it in here very quickly, and it could be put to use on the inner cities and lots of other things, and it would be beautiful.
It is absurd for large corporations to be able to stash huge amounts of money in countries like the Cayman Islands, which have a zero tax rate.
All right, let's go get the money. Where do I go?
That is one of the things I asked Leslie Robinson, that Dartmouth professor.
Like, where is that money? Like, what is that money? Where is it?
I think most of it's in New York.
Wait, in New York?
Like probably right next door to you.
So to be clear, you're talking about the money U.S. corporations are holding abroad. The money everybody's like, we need to get them to bring this money back to America. You're saying it's in New York.
I believe so.
I don't understand. Like, what does that even mean? What does that even mean?
So holding cash abroad is a little bit of a misnomer.
Yes, apparently.
This is confusing.
Yes, yes it is. So what Leslie Robinson told me is the company only has to pay tax if the foreign subsidiary sends the money back to U.S. headquarters. If the foreign subsidiary wants to do something else with the money, including putting it in a U.S. bank, that's fine. The government will not tax it from now until forever.
So that's the way the corporate tax works now. The big question, what is the Republican plan for this big pile of money?
Robert, I'm going to go to page 9 of the framework.
Yeah.
I'm going to paraphrase. It says here on page 9, hey, corporations, that big pile of money, we are taxing it right now. Whether it's in gold bars in Switzerland or in a New York bank account, you are going to pay us tax on that money.
And this is a lot of money.
Yeah, this is big. Asterisk. And by asterisk, I mean they're going to tax this money, but they will almost certainly tax it at some special low rate. The framework does not say what the rate is. So I asked somebody whose job is to kind of figure these things out. His name is Michael Mundaka. He worked on taxes in the Obama administration, and he now works in Washington for EY, which is a giant accounting firm. How much are they going to tax it at?
The best guess is somewhere around 10%.
So more or less, about how much money would it bring in?
Multiple hundreds of billions, I would think.
Now we're talking money.
Yeah, okay, this is some money. The one other thing to remember about this money, though...
Double asterisk.
It is another asterisk, is this is a one-time deal, right? This just applies to the pile of money that exists right now sitting outside the United States. But the framework also addresses what's going to happen in the future to foreign profits. And it says, in the future, companies will have to pay some minimum tax on foreign profits when they are earned. It'll be a low rate, but no more letting them pile up forever.
Okay. So to make this clear, if the Republicans pass their tax plan, if some U.S. company is reporting all of its foreign profits in some offshore low tax haven, the U.S. government is going to say, pay up. Every year, you owe us some taxes at least.
Exactly right.
Okay. So let's take this whole framework. Let's add up all the numbers, see how it pencils out, and we'll do that after the break.
Support for this NPR podcast and the following message come from Slack, where work happens all over the world. No more losing time context switching. More than 1,000 apps seamlessly integrate with Slack. So that's less time jumping between tools and more time getting things done. More at slack.com.
So let's pull the framework together.
Every story so far.
There is this massive cut in the corporate tax rate.
35 to 20%.
And the framework does explicitly mention a few ways the government is going to make more money, getting rid of Section 199, manufacturing.
And taxing that pile of money held overseas.
A couple other things. But just like roughly adding this stuff up in my head, it seems like the government, the U.S. government, is going to lose far more money from cutting the tax rate than it's going to make back from closing loopholes and deductions.
So there is this one other sentence in the framework. It's a very important sentence, and it's a very vague sentence. I talked about it with Michael Mundaka. Oh, so here's the sentence that, like, I'm trying to get inside of. In addition, numerous other special exclusions and deductions will be repealed or restricted.
Yes.
So they're saying, we're going to do it. We're going to get rid of those loopholes.
That's what they're saying.
Do you believe it?
It's, I think, why they don't list them here, because they don't want to create targets this early in the process. This is going to be tough. Whenever the House comes out with more specifics around this, and it could be as soon as later this month, then you'll see the high gear drive to get those special provisions maintained in whatever new tax system we wind up with.
I mean, that is like, if you're a company and you employ a lobbyist, that is the moment when you want the lobbyist to do everything.
This is their Super Bowl.
This is their Super Bowl. I feel like I always lose when it gets to that. I, as like an ordinary schmuck, I'm
going to
lose. I feel sorry
that you feel that way. But
do you think it's a reasonable way to feel?
It is a reasonable way to feel.
Okay.
Because you don't have someone going up there and arguing why you're special.
Yes, or arguing like why nobody should be special and everybody should just pay the same tax.
That's right.
Like whatever the rate is, it could be high or it could be low, just pay it, right? Like that's what we want.
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we want, but is that what we're going to get?
No. No, not according to Mundaka. I mean, he says his best guess is Congress will probably cut the corporate tax rate, maybe not all the way to 20%, but probably somewhere in the low 20s. Probably will get rid of Section 199, he says, will tax that money held overseas. But he says a lot of the other special corporate tax rules, those are probably going to stay in place. Which means, bottom line, if this thing passes, the federal government may just wind up collecting less money overall from the corporate income tax. You can email us at planetmoney@npr.org or find us on Twitter or Facebook.
Today's show was produced by Sally Helm and Nick Fountain. Planet Money's senior producer is Alex Goldmark. Bryant Erstadt edits the show.
Special thanks today to our current intern, Alice Wilder. We are looking for our next intern. It could be you. Come help us make the show. It's a fun job. We pay you money. Applications are due Sunday, October 15th. More information is available online at npr.org/money.
Now that you're finished listening to Planet Money, I am going to suggest a classic. Fresh Air, Terry Gross.
Great show.
Fantastic interview program. It's a classic on the radio, and it has a podcast. So if you haven't heard it in podcast form, you really should. It's Fresh Air, npr.org/podcasts, or you can find it in the NPR One app. I'm Robert Smith.
And I'm Jacob Goldstein. Thanks for listening.